Good morning, church.
Pull this down a little bit.
Thank y'all for having me here again today. It's always a blessing to be here. This morning we're going to be in the letter of 1 John chapter 1. So if you want to be turning there, you can do that. Film director and actor Woody Allen is a self-proclaimed atheist, but was asked one time as an atheist, if there were a God, he's real, what would you want him to say to you? And he said, I would want him to say these three words, you are forgiven. An interesting thought coming from an atheist. I would submit that if you think about it, if you think about what you would want God to be, the most important thing that you would want God to be would be forgiving. Because like Woody Allen, you know that there is a God, but unlike Woody Allen, you know there is a God, and you know that if there is a God, then you have sinned against Him. We want God to be many things. We want God to be sovereign. We want God to be wise. We want Him to be powerful and merciful. We want Him to be holy and just and patient. We want God to be all these things. But if God is all these things, but He is not forgiving, we've got a problem because we know we've sinned against Him. Thinking about our sins is not easy. And I say sins in plural because many people like to make themselves feel a little better about their sins by saying that they are sinful. We like to be able to say, yeah, I'm a sinner. I am sinful. But we really don't like to look at our individual sins, list them out, name them, think about them, confess them, because that's pretty hard work on our hearts and on our souls as we think about where we have fallen short. Many people try to justify their sins by saying that they're not really sinning. You know, I'm not really sinning if I do just this. Some people tell themselves that there is no God, and so therefore there's no one that they're sinning against. Oftentimes, we in the church especially, we like to compare ourselves to other people and decide that our sins really aren't that bad, so they're really not worth mentioning because they're not as easy to see as other people's sins. We like to see ourselves as broken so that we don't feel as bad about where we fall short. God's word is clear that yes, we are sinners, and yes, as a human race, we are broken sinners. And yes, we are born that way. But the Bible doesn't stop there. God tells us that we must see our sins. We must confess our sins, not just our sinfulness, to really be forgiven. So let's look at 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. John says this, "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What I think we should see here today is that we all sin, and that we, when we walk in the light of God, we have fellowship with God, and we have fellowship with one another through the confession of our sins, which results in forgiveness and cleansing. So in verse 5, we see that God is light. Everything that follows in this section is based upon the fact that God is light. It sets up everything that's coming. Light and darkness, in this case, equals righteousness and sin. So light, righteousness, sin, darkness. Light is perfection. God is completely righteous, completely perfect. He is light. Light, by its effect, removes darkness. They cannot coexist. If you've ever been in ultimate, complete darkness, that is the total absence of light, if I'm right by my science teacher, complete darkness is the total absence of light. So any light that infiltrates darkness removes some amount of darkness. So they cannot coexist. You can't have light and darkness in the same place. God has nothing to hide away in darkness. And so his light, his perfection, just like light in that we see, light reveals something. It reveals what is in the darkness. God's light, the light of God, is truth, and it reveals what is false in us. And it reveals the path forward for us. Many in John's day want God to be as dark as they are because they want fellowship without exposing themselves. And that's the same for me and you today. We want God to be dark like us because we want fellowship without having to be exposed. But I think what God is showing us here is that it's not possible. Fellowship is not possible if we're not exposed by the light. With God, fellowship with God is not possible without being exposed by the light. And fellowship with one another as followers of Christ is not possible without being exposed by the light. It's vital for us to know this about God, because fellowship with God is dependent upon his character. Fellowship with God is dependent upon his character. So what does it mean for when he says for us to walk in the light? Walking is the way that we live. We either walk in darkness or we walk in light. We either walk in truth or we walk in deceit. There can be truth in our words and falsehood in our actions. And if that's the case, we're not walking in truth. Or there can be truth in our actions and falsehood in our words. But if we have deceit or darkness in any part of it, then we're not walking in light. We either walk in the light or we walk in darkness. We either walk in truth or we walk in deceit. If you claim to be in the truth, then it must be decided by your words and your actions. They have to marry. They have to be together. There are many who may preach the Word of God with their words, but in truth, they live a different way. If your life is characterized by sin, then you are not walking in truth, no matter what you say. You can stand and preach this Bible. You can share it with people. But if it's not the way that you live your life, well, then it's not true for you. You're not walking in this truth, no matter what you say about it. And I think we've probably all known people who can teach you a lot about the Word of God. They don't live the Word of God. They're not walking in truth. Two things that we must know are true. One is that if someone in the church constantly lives contrary to God's Word without repentance, then we have to question the genuineness of their faith. Like, we can't live a constant life of rebellion to the Word of God and be genuine in our faith. But we also must know that it is possible for Christians to sin. We may even live in seasons of sinfulness, live in seasons of our flesh, and still be saved. I'll talk a little bit more about this. But these are two things that we must understand, and they're hard to reconcile sometimes. How do we question the genuineness of someone's faith at the same time knowing full well that if you look in your own life, you'll see seasons of sinfulness that you've lived in, you've walked through. You may not have ever shared it with another soul. No one may know it but you. But you know it, that you've walked through seasons of sinfulness, and yet are a saved, blood-bought child of the King. So stay with me through this entire sermon, because there may be a time in it where you sit here and go, man, this guy's going the wrong direction. But we're going to clean it up at the end, so stay with me. I'm going to give you that warning. So, to walk in darkness, verse 6, is to commit any sin. He says, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. So, when we walk in darkness, it means that we are committing sin. And this is any sin in the world. It may be murder, or it may just be trying to ruin the reputation of someone. It may be boasting in yourself, or lusting, or cheating on a test, or lying to get a better job, or hating your neighbor, or wasting time when you should be working. It may be neglecting to read your Bible or to pray, or whatever it may be. This often happens when we refuse to acknowledge our sin as sin. When we end up walking in these seasons of darkness, it's because we refuse to acknowledge our sin as sin. We refuse to acknowledge that we're walking in the dark. When we see our sin, when we are in sin, it is impossible for us to have fellowship with God. We are intended to live in fellowship with God. But when we are living in sin, it is impossible for us to have fellowship with God. Because light and darkness do not have fellowship. They are opposing one another. The light is dispelling the darkness. And so we can't have fellowship with light if we are walking in darkness. To walk in the light is to live in perfection. Verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we walk in the light as God is in the light, and light being God's perfection, then that's how we have fellowship with God, is through perfection. That's what John is saying right here. The way we have fellowship with God is by being perfect the way God is perfect. That means that we live in complete truth and complete holiness. And we walk in the light in perfection by the example of Jesus. Jesus tells his disciples in John 12 that the light himself is among you for a little while. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. So there are two things that occur when we walk in the light. Two things that happen while we walk in the light. Number one, we have fellowship. And fellowship is a product of relationship. You can't have fellowship without a relationship. But what's important for us to see and understand is that relationship and fellowship are different things. Relationship does not change. It doesn't. Now, it may expand in the human world. Our relationship may expand into different things, but it doesn't change the original relationship. So, if you have a child who has gone wayward, they are still your child. The relationship doesn't change. They are still your son or your daughter. If you have a parent who's walked out on you, maybe you never even knew, doesn't change the fact that they are your parent. They are your father or your mother. They are your parent. Your brothers and sisters, they're always the same. Those relationships don't change. But what changes is the fellowship. Fellowship does change. The amount that we have inside of our relationships changes. And fellowship with God is dependent upon His character and what we do with that character of God as humans. So, do we line up with God's character, or do we not line up with God's character? And it's the same in your human relationships. The child that's gone wayward, that you don't have fellowship with, the reason you don't have fellowship with them is because they're not living by your standard. They don't want to live by your standard. And so they've gone away. And then they are doing everything they can do not to have fellowship with you. Or maybe you've decided, hey, it's time for me to cut this fellowship off, for them to see the error of their ways. Whatever it is, it's because there's a clash of character that dissolves the relationship. And that's what happens in our relationship, our fellowship with God. Fellowship is a deep connection by sharing and participating in what we have in common. So if we have nothing in common, then there's really no fellowship. And we must share that with one another and participate in that with one another and with God for us to have real fellowship. So we must be in common or similar to have fellowship. To have fellowship with one another, so we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with one another. This fellowship with one another is between believers, is what John is talking about here. This fellowship with one another is believers. We share Christ in common. That's our common point, is we share Christ in common with one another. For all believers walking in the light, fellowship is sweet between us because there is nothing false between us, because we walk in the light, where our lives are revealed to one another and to God. And so when we walk in that light, we have sweet fellowship. Our fellowship with one another is based on our common fellowship with God. That fellowship with God, John doesn't say in verse 6 that we will have fellowship with God directly, but what he says is that we will not have fellowship with God if we walk in darkness. So to have fellowship with God means we must walk in the light. We must walk in this perfection. That darkness in our lives is what breaks our fellowship with God. And we remain God's children, but that fellowship is broken. Walking in darkness breaks that fellowship with God, and it breaks that fellowship with one another. When we walk in the light and in fellowship with God, what we see is our need to be cleansed. When we walk in the light of God, we see our need of cleansing. And so when we walk in the light, the second thing that happens is that we are cleansed. Well, this is the good part. So far you've been like, man, this guy's telling me I got to live perfect. But that's not what he's saying. Because you're not perfect in your flesh. But when we walk in the light, we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. What are we cleansed of? Sin. Our sins are forgiven. Sin, again, that ugly word that we don't want to talk about. This is the first time we see it in this book. But John's going to talk about it a lot of times in 1 John. But if we stop where we are here in this text, we would walk away having a wrong way of thinking about light and darkness and relationship and fellowship and sin. We might believe that the way to fellowship and cleansing is to live perfectly without ever sinning again. And this just isn't true. This cleansing is a daily cleansing that takes the place in the life of a believer. We've got two cleansings that we face as believers, that we receive as believers. And we talk about them all the time. We talk about justification that happened on the cross. That blood was poured out for your sins, past, present, future. All of your sin are covered by the blood of Christ on the cross. Every bit of them. For your relationship with God. He bought your relationship with God, cleansed you of your sin, justified you, made you holy through justification in a moment, in an immediate moment, made you justified. But we also walk through this process of the Christian life of sanctification. And this sanctification is also paid for on the cross, covered by the blood of Christ on the cross. But it's a process that we walk through in this life. And this sanctification occurs through us regularly seeing our sin and confessing our sin. John talks about if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, to walk in the light of God for the believer is to live a life of confession. This must be a part of our daily prayer. To confess sin, we must know that we sin, and we must call it what it is. You sin, period. John tells us right here, if you say you don't, you are a liar. Now, when I was in Uganda, this would have drawn gasps from the crowd. Was that many of them that are consider themselves believers are taught growing up that once you become a child of God, you are now perfect and you no longer sin. And if you sin, now you are no longer a child of God and you must become a child of God again. So when you say you sin as a child of God, period, you would have, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. But we can never grow more like Christ if we don't see what it is in our lives that is not like Him. So we must see where we don't measure up. By His light, we see where we are not perfect. And then we can become more like Christ when we see where we are wrong. When we see our sin in the light of God, we must confess it and repent. James 1, 23 and 25, James says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like the man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed by his doing." And the way that we act when we see ourselves in the mirror, when we see where we don't measure up, is we confess our sin and we repent. If we refuse to acknowledge our sin as sin, we are fools and we will be destroyed. Sin is what destroys people. We must see it, we must confess it, and we must run from it. If we say we cannot sin, then the truth is not in us, and we deceive ourselves. In Uganda, we had this animal there. It's called the Jackson Heart Beast. It's an antelope, big antelope. When a lion, it would be out grazing, lion comes up, starts chasing it, it'll take off running. And it runs for about 2 minutes. And then he forgets why he's running. He puts his head back down and he starts to eat grass again. And what do you think happens? He gets eaten. I mean, anytime a lion walks up on a Jackson Heart Beast, he's like, easy meal today. Chase this thing for a couple of minutes and I'm going to eat it. And it happens every time. But how many times are we the Jackson Heart Beast? How many times? We see our sin. We see Satan and sin chasing us. And we see it and we run from it for just a minute. And then we forget. Put our head back down and start filling our bellies. And then we get attacked. We get devoured. This confession of sins is what leads us to the forgiveness of sins, sins plural. The forgiveness of sins is how we maintain fellowship with God. Just as sure as we sin, God is just as sure to forgive us when we confess. By forgiveness, we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. This is how we walk in the light. This is how we walk in fellowship with God, is by the cleansing of our sin. Not by the perfection of our lives, but by the cleansing of our sin by the blood of Christ. We still sin as believers, but our sin does not have to break our fellowship when we keep on confessing, keep on repenting. He keeps on forgiving, and our fellowship is restored. You may be wondering, what are you saying? If if I don't confess every sin, then those sins aren't forgiven? What if I die without confessing one? What if I forget about a sin? What if I don't even know it's a sin? I've got good news. The Holy Spirit prays for you. God the Spirit prays for you on your behalf. Second piece of good news. God the Son is sitting there at the right hand of God as your advocate. He's sitting there saying, yeah, he forgot that one. Yeah, he didn't realize that one. Yeah, he just decided he didn't want to remember that one. He didn't want to confess that one. But he's mine. He belongs to me. I paid for him. We will experience, as followers of Christ, those of us in Christ, those of us who are justified, we will experience eternity with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. We will live in eternity with God. But God's desire for your life on this earth is that you walk in fellowship with Him while you're here. And the way that we have that sweet fellowship with God here is through confession, repentance, and forgiveness. And the way that we walk in fellowship with one another as God desires, the way that we have sweet fellowship with one another is by walking in the light together through confession and repentance and forgiveness. The point is that we must be looking at our lives in the light of God's righteousness. We must be looking for our sins. We must be honest about our sins. And when we see them, we confess them. And when we do that, our fellowship with God and man remains unbroken through the cleansing blood of Jesus, our Savior. That is what it means to walk in the light. It's to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And so, those of you who are followers of Christ here today, I would ask you to take some time and look at your heart. Ask yourself, where am I sinning? Where am I walking in darkness? Where do I not want the light to shine? And confess it. Confess it. Repent. And trust in faith in the forgiveness of your sin. Believe that God has forgiven you. If you're not a believer today, if you've never put your faith in Christ to forgive you, to justify you, put your faith in Him. Put your faith in the blood He shed on Calvary. Put your faith in His love and in His desire for a relationship with you that begins this sweet fellowship. And with one another, I would encourage you to look at your sins, knowing what a sinner you are, and know that when you're sinned against by one another, you are a sinner too. And confess to one another where you fall short, and live in fellowship with one another, knowing that all of us need the cleansing of the blood of Christ. And it is the only way by which we can live. So, let me pray for us. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit who speaks it to us. God, I pray that today I would not have been the speaker to the hearts of people. But God, that you are the speaker to the hearts of your people. God, I pray that you would imprint your word upon our hearts. God, that we would see you in the perfection in which you are, and that we would see ourselves in the darkness that we live, and that we would confess our sinfulness, and that we would trust in your cleansing. God, because we know that we can't really have sweet fellowship if we don't have faith that you've forgiven us. So God, help us to confess it and to repent and to trust in the blood of Jesus. God, I pray that you would take us from here this week to be disciple makers. God, that we would take your word, apply it to our lives in all ways, but this week that we would take your word and use it to teach, to train, to disciple the people around us. Use us to lead our families in discipleship. God, be with us as we go from this place. God, I pray that you bring Brandon and his family back safely, and pray for this church, that you continue to pour out your Spirit into their hearts for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. I want to leave you with this verse as we think about God. Romans 8 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he also not with him freely give us all things? Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Thank you, Alan. If you'll stand this morning, we'll sing the doxology together, and then we'll be dismissed.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.